G'day guys, just wanted to let you know that we actually recorded this podcast before we heard the Ollie Wines news. It's obviously out for a few weeks, the massive dick totally ruined this show. But just please take it into account when you're listening to the takes. I thought I'd leave them in there because it's kind of funny and makes us seem like total dicks. Enjoy!
Welcome to the Draw Doctors Podcast, your weekly dose of fantasy footy content.
Hello everyone and welcome back to another exciting edition of the Draft Doctors. It's ranking season. It's the last week of our split shows. We're going to be talking about our top 40 Supercoach midfielders for you today. We're going to plow through it. There's heaps of players to talk about, and to do it as always is my good buddy Jono Crockett. How you doing, man?
Good, man. G'day listeners. I'm pumped, Steve. We've got the draft kit out. The mock site released on the weekend. I'm busy doing my mock simulations at pick 8 in our home league. And it's amazing what a slight injury or an injury concern can do to affect the mock site. We've seen Max Gawn going really highly early on, but with news over the weekend that he's in the knee brace, he's now sliding down to me at pick 8. And I'm pretty confident that if I can get Maxi Gawn at pick 8.
Yeah, no, look, it's great. The mock site, obviously, I've had it out for a couple of years prior, and people love it. It gives you a really good idea of who you can get in the draft. Not just who you pick with your first one, Jono, but who's going to be available in pick 2 and 3 if you happen to go, say, a forward, or like in your case with Gawn, a ruck. You know, where are you going to get that midfield value?
Yeah, exactly right. I'm pick 8. I'm coming back in the bonzo, so I'm sure there's going to be someone pretty good coming back to me.
Yeah, certainly, and you can go check them out on the website. There's links there to get to the draft kit and the mock draft simulator. Our ranks should be up today on the website, totally free, all our ranks, and they'll update as things like Max Gawn's knee falls to bits and things like that. So we can keep updating that. It's not a static thing like in the like the draft kit is. It's a static product, so we can update the ranks and bring you fresh
fresh takes,
more, and probably more accurate takes, you know, probably more things that are going to happen in your draft. But anyway, Jono, we've got a massive show. We've got heaps of questions from the listeners. Why don't you start us off? Give us your top 5 midfielders for Supercoach in 2020.
Yeah, top 5. Number 1 is Jack McRae. Number 2, Nat Fyfe. Number 3, Lachie Neale. Number 4 is Paddy Cripps. And number 5, Paddy Dangerfield.
Yeah, so probably reasonably similar to mine. Actually, they're all similar. I got Danger at 2, man. I think he's going to have a banger of a year. Tim Kelly's out of that team. I think the forward time's dried up. They've recruited guys who can play forward. That midfield, you know, Selwood's under a cloud. Duncan's under a bit of a cloud. Give me the Danger, man. And he's going in the back of drafts, this back of the first round in drafts. You can pick him up.
Certainly is. So he could bang out one of those 132 years again quite easily. All for it. Moving on to the second half of the top 10, I've got Clayton Oliver at number 6. Even with double shoulder reconstructions, he was pretty good in 2019. Number 7, Steve Canelio. Take out that injury-affected year from last year, and he was up around 104, 105. I think he goes better this year. Marcus Bontempelli comes in at number 8. Josh Dunkley, number 9, and Josh Kelly in at number 10.
So this is probably one of the lower spots we've seen Josh Kelly come in over the last couple of years. I've got him at 7, so we're not miles apart. If in 12 months, like if things go right for Josh Kelly, we'll be talking about him as a top 3 midfielder.
I quite easily be number 1 and surpass what Jack McRae and Nat Fyfe have been doing quite easily.
Yeah, so is it just the last couple of years with the injury?
Yeah, it's just those old man quad and calf injuries that he's had just... just put me off a little bit, but he's a superb scorer.
If he stays fit, he's in Brownlow calculations. I want to talk about Josh Dunkley just for a second. Like, we got similar ranks. You've got Kelly lower than I do. I've got Canelio a little bit lower than you do, but we're in the same ballpark. But I just want to talk about Josh Dunkley because he really blew up last year after about the round 4 mark. That's just going to continue.
Yeah, look, I was actually a little bit apprehensive with Josh Dunkley, thinking he might have been that first one out of that midfield group when we saw the likes of Tom Liberatore returning there. But Liber's still in the rehab group. So, and also, it was a great combination. You had Bont, McRae, and Dunkley there. So I can't see why Bevo would change it too much unless Bevo goes full Bevo and throws Caleb Daniel as a new inside mid. But I can't see the change, really.
When you look at how hot the Bulldogs were over the second half of last year, it looks like they've made some good recruiting moves with Bruce and Alex Keith into that team. You'd have to say they actually look like, from the outside, a team that should be reasonably settled from start to finish.
Yeah, you would think so. And it's just going to be those fringe-type players, I think, later on. Your Lipinskis, your Wallaces, and your Jongs, where they're going to fit in, what sort of midfield time they're going to get rotated through.
You mean former Bulldogs ruck legend Ling Jong?
Damn straight.
All right, why don't you kick us off with the 10 to 15 range? Oh, the 11 to 15, sorry.
Number 11, Tommy Mitchell. I found him hard to rank, but look, he's burning up the track. Sammy Mitchell's come out and said he's going to play some game time. I still want to see some game time in that Marsh series to see what actual role he'll play. But, you know, if you can get him in your second round there, you'd be pretty happy taking Tom Mitchell, especially if you've got a Paddy Dangerfield or a Paddy Cripps in front of him. Number 12, got Adam Treloar. Seriously, this dude is massively undervalued each and every year. There's an argument he could be a top 10 super coach midfielder, but always just seems to be that next tier down. Zach Merritt, again, he can be one of those as well, in at 13. Matty Crouch, in at 14. The ultimate plodder. We know he finishes years like a house on fire, so hopefully he can start the season off like he finishes them. And Elliot Yeo comes in at number 15 for me.
Yeah, a lot of similar players there. And, I think down on Treloar, I got him at 8. But I would like to talk about... Actually, we've got all these players so far, so it's classic our ranks. We don't know... You never know who we've got where, but they always seem to be reasonably similar. But I want to talk about Tom Mitchell, of course. It'd be absurd not to. I've got him at 15. I'm obviously very apprehensive. Everything went right for him a couple of years ago. I can see the situation's changed. And we've got a couple of questions about him in different scenarios. And how confident are you if he, A, plays some preseason time, even if it's, say, just a quarter in the Marsh series, or if he plays none at all? What are you going to be doing with him? Are you going to take him, or are you just going to go, you know what, I'm just going to miss?
Look, my theory on Tom Mitchell is, look, he's had that broken leg. He's doing all the right things. He's running. He's training well. He's looking $1 million. The thing he's missing is that match fitness. When the game started, it's a whole different sort of intensity instead of just plodding around on a training track. So my theory is that he plays a Jimmy Warple sort of role a couple of years ago where he's forward mid. And then once he builds his game tank, basically, then second half of the season, I think he goes pure guts again because he was one of their main extractors and launchers inside 50 for the Hawks. So that's something Hawks were missing last year.
Yeah, I just wonder, they're so much better than they were a couple of years ago. And, Warple's developed and they've brought in guys like Chad Wingard and Scully's fit and O'Meara's, further away from his thing. And his game time was obscene in the past. If he's coming back from a broken leg, surely they manage that.
Oh, totally, totally. And I'm not expecting 130 or whatever it is, but cap maximum is probably a 115. What I'd like to see is maybe a 108. That's my range, yep. 108 to 115.
Yeah, and you've probably got him in a very fair spot for that sort of average. So
yeah, that's how I've ranked him that way.
Yeah, and it's going to be interesting to see where he goes in drafts because I know it's all good and well to talk about it and go, I have him here and use the mock simulator and go, I'll pass on him in the first round. But when it's draft day and the whips are cracking, man, and you're sitting there at pick 8, it is going to be hard to pass on Titch.
Especially in our home league, I know I'm sitting next to a Hawthorn fan who loves Tom Mitchell, so there's a good chance he's not getting back to me. So do I roll the dice and get him there at pick 8?
Yeah, you're going to need to see some preseason action. That's
certainly
all
will. Certainly will. The finish rating at the top 20. Coming in at number 16. Probably pretty spicy take. I've got Dion Prestia, the human meatball. I'm all in on Dion this year. I want him. Look, he only averaged 101 last year, but he was putting out some banger scores, showed a massive ceiling. He was putting out 140 games. And the thing is, teams tried to tag him, but they didn't stop him. We saw it in the grand final and even throughout the final series. He can't be stopped, and that's because the way Richmond play, it's sort of like a team defense to stop the tagger. So they'll run interception on the tagger and let Dion do Dion things. So I'm crazy about Dion Presti this year. Number 17, I've got Luke Parker. Just one of those guys, he'll bang you out 105 to 110 every year. You got JPK starting to get a little bit older. He should be the one to take over that number one inside mid role there. And the question is, he does get a little bit of forward time, but that's okay. Number 18, I've got Jimmy Warple. I think he takes over the mantle of the number one Hawthorn midfielder, just at least until Titch is back up and running. Rory Sloane at number 19. How can you not like the bloke? He's been a stalwart there at the Adelaide Crows, banging out 110 pluses every year. And Timmy Taranto rounds out my top 20 of Supercoach midfielders.
Jono, I've got to say, that's about the spiciest five players I could ever imagine in my life. We've had some pretty mild discussions here, but Dion Prestia, I've got to get you on this because I was all about Dion Prestia last year and it paid off for me in basically every league I had. How does he back it up? Like, surely, I'm just so... Sorry, my words are failing me here. But one thing I hate to do, Jono, is if... And this is me. If I get a player at value like a Dion Prestia last year, I have a real hard time paying up for them the next year. Yeah. I don't know why that is. I have a hard time paying the Piper when I've got the steal the year before. I find it really hard to believe that you're okay with Dion Prestia as an M2. That's what you're saying.
Yeah, I think he can go better this year than his 101. Because you got to think, he was coming off injuries the year before, a bit of a slow burn into the season. And around the bye rounds, he just went fully nuts, putting out some massive scores. So I'm predicting him to go a little bit bigger, and I'm happy to pay that for an M2. Look, it could burn in my face, but I'm willing to take that risk.
So I'm just going to say a couple of players you got him over, like Andrew Gaff, Scott Pendlebury, JPK. You're happy taking him over all these. I mean, you don't have to draft him over these guys in your draft. That's going to be the beauty of it. You can pick him. You might rank him at 16, but you might be able to draft him at, say, a 23rd mid value.
Yeah, correct.
So that's a spicy take, man. I love it. Get around it. And Jimmy Warple, 21. I think that's interesting. I had him at 21, sorry.
I actually bumped him up. I did have him at 22, but I've moved him up a little bit.
Yeah. And Rory Sloane, I'm a little bit higher on. I think with Greenwood out and Ellis Yolman out, Rory Sloane, you know, he's removed from those injuries now. He should be fit, should be firing. I'm all about the Sloane dog this year.
He's got the captain swag. He's got the baby swag. It's all up for Sloane.
Got a lot of swag.
He does.
He just took a mad catch and then swore on TV.
I did see that. It was fantastic.
Get around it. And, hey, how good are Adelaide sports fans? Like, you could put on anything and they'd have 20,000 plus turn up.
Oh, draft doctors live in the middle of the Adelaide Oval.
Yeah, get around it.
No, listeners, we are not doing that. We haven't booked out Adelaide Oval. Just hold your horses.
All right, why don't you start us off in the 20s, man?
20s, Mr. De Pendlebury himself comes in at 21. Look, there's talks of Bucks playing Pendlebury in the forward line and this, that, and that, and the other. We've heard that going on for many of years. Look, Pendlebury, I'm happy as an M3, to have as my M3. He'll bang out 104 average, and I'm fine with that. Dane Zorko comes in at number 22 for me. Again, he's just a good, solid player. Might get some forward time as he gets a little bit older because they've got the young brigade of Barry and McCluggage coming through. So he could be the one that misses out, maybe as a little bit older, because we do know he has played forward in the past. Seb Ross comes in at 23 for me. The way he finished last year under Brett Ratten, if Brett Ratten plays him like the way he did, we're going to see him have an absolute banger year. 24, I do have JPK. Again, he just goes under the radar as a pick, but I'm still happy to have him as an M3 there. And Luke Shuey comes in at 25 for me.
The spice continues, Jono. Seb Ross, 23. I hate St Kilda players this year. It is... It is an absolute shit fest. You can say, oh, the way he finished the year. Well, since that's happened, they've brought in some really quality players. They've got the developing young guns in Hunter Clark down there. We know Jack Billings has taken another step. Like, I find them a really, really hard team to get behind. And I'd be shocked if I had any Saints players at the end of my draft.
Fair enough. I'm all about Jack Sabros.
Yeah, wow. That's God damn, that's spicy, Jono. Someone's
got to score the points, though.
Well, it should just be such a massive spread.
We predict that, but I don't think it... For inside mids, I don't think it would be. I think they're going to have a tight midfield group this year.
And Luke Shuey at 25. I got him at 30, and I love Luke Shuey. I think he's a fantastic player to watch, a lot of fun to own, but I can't get behind it with Tim Kelly in the team.
So you see him as the one who gets a significant... Not, I wouldn't say significant, but a drop-off.
I think Sheed's the big loser, but I think they all take a little bit of a dip. I don't think they can't. Yeah,
That's true. It's probably No. Well, that's why one next five are pretty similar. 26. I've got Tim Kelly. 27. Andrew Gaff. There you go. I've got three West Coast players in a row. I don't know what to do. I'm like Talladega Nights. What do I do with my hands? Yeah. 28, Mitch Duncan, even though he's got the injury concerns, I think he's going to be all right, but I don't know. It's a wishy-washy one. 29, Taylor Adams, and 30 is Gus Brayshaw.
Brayshaw is an interesting one, but I want to talk about Andrew Gaff. I've got him at 18. I'm not even an Andrew Gaff truther, and I got him a lot higher than that. You're just saying with that ranking, you're just saying, I'm missing you, man.
Yep, I have. I think he's not getting the inside time. I know they're an outside team, the Eagles, but Kelly.
They're not though. They've got one of the worst. They're one of the worst outside teams. They don't take marks. They're at the arse end of the league for marks per game. That's why I'm not sure that Gaff. I think Gaff takes a hit, like we saw Rory Laird take a hit last year.
Yeah,
like where he's good, but he's not great. Like he's been fantastic.
He's a solid.
He was taking like a 10% share of West Coast's possessions, but West Coast were really, really low in disposals, right?
Mm.
So I'm thinking if they get better with, you know, say they're a better across the board team, then he might stay the same amount of possessions or maybe drop a couple, but just the team's a little bit better around him.
Yeah, I get what you're saying.
Yeah, he never misses either.
Well, unless he's punching blokes in the jaw.
Unless he's punching blokes in the jaw because he's a dirty thug.
That's right. Dirty cheap, thug.
Cheap shot artist.
Thugs don't come into my team. No, sorry.
Hate to see. And Gus Brayshaw, I actually think this is a really interesting one, and I'd like to pick your brain on it because I've got him at 42, and he is not a super coach player.
He's not a super coach player, but he's got to be an inside player. They've tried him on the wing roles. They've got wing players in. Where does he play? He's got to be inside.
Yeah, but if you look at Oliver Viney and Brayshaw, they're not exactly three, you know, pacey blokes, are they?
Well, they complement each other. Brayshaw can kick. Oliver can handball. Viney can tackle. The Holy Trinity. I love Brayshaw this year.
If this was Dream Team, I'd be behind it, but Supercoach, I can't get behind it. I think it's really tough.
Much higher.
I think it's a tough mix for him, man. I think it's a tough mix for the coaches. You can't have three slow-ass plotters in there all the time.
Have you seen their midfield? They're all bloody slow-ass plotters in there.
Well, then they're going to struggle, aren't they?
They are. Where are we at? 31. Ben Cunnington, 31. I don't like it, but he's going to be in that midfield because he cannot play anywhere else. He had a pretty good year last year, slightly tapered off at the back end, but... they're going to have some young kids running through there, but I think it's the blokes like Sean Higgins and that who are going to miss out. Lucky Hunter at 32, solid 95 each week, can get you a big score if the cards fall his way. Ollie Wines comes in there at 33. Should bounce back from all those injury woes and water skiing incidents he had last year. Dylan Scheel at 34 and Ed Curnow 35.
Yeah, we're not miles apart here, actually. We're pretty similar. Cunnington, I think... See, I had Wines, Cunnington, Hunter all in that 31 to 35 range.
Yeah.
Curnow, I've got slightly behind him. But I don't see a reason why he shouldn't be there. And Scheel, I think I've got just 37, so we're all pretty agreement. I'd say Ollie Wines looks like one of the better values in the draft, probably.
Yeah, I'm not too sure what his ADP is, but he'd be sliding down. You probably get him. What is he? What have I got? 33 there. You could pick him up in the 10th or the 11th round, I reckon.
Yeah, I'm pretty comfortable with Ollie Wines as an M4. I really like that, to be honest.
Yeah, and that's where I feel comfortable with that, because what's he going to average you? He's inside mid, 100, 105.
Oh, I'd say yeah, high 90s at the least.
Yeah, somewhat like that. So I'm pretty comfortable with that.
Yeah, Ed Curnow's an interesting one. Never gets the respect. Like, I've probably dissed him in my rankings, but he'll probably be in there.
I think he is. Like, we've seen him in that midfield group once, what's his name, T took over, so I can't see it changing too much. To round out the top 40, I've got Jack Steele there at 36, Jacob Hopper, 37, Brad Crouch, 38, Steele side bottom, 39, and Hugh McCluggage rounds out my top 40.
Yeah. Who do you like best out of that bunch?
Oh, that last five.
I know you've got
to
rank Steele, but which one do you think you'd end up with in a draft? I'm just buying time, so I'll write down their names.
Probably Sidebum, to be honest. Sidebum or Steele.
Yeah.
I like them. Again,
did you have Jack Steele?
Yeah, I got Hopper. I'm pretty interested in Hopper.
I got him at 53. I'm way lower on him, man.
Yeah, I just think with Callum Ward...
How well did everything go for him last year?
Oh, I was coming up Hopper, and no one really spoke about him, but I think with Callum Ward coming back, Wardy's not even training with the main group at the moment, so there is going to be opportunity there for Hopper. You got Kelly Cornelio. I don't think Zach Williams and Green are going to be too much time in that midfield. I think it's more for Hopper.
Yeah, it seems hard to bump him out. He is the inside mid, but like, there's only so many fantasy points to go around, Jono.
I understand that. I understand. Look, I'm not predicting to be 100, 105, but a 95, sort of what he did, like he did last year.
Yeah, but even if Ward's not in there at the start, he's going to come in there at some point. And you can't be like, oh, I'll just trade him out, because it's not like he's not Whitfield or Kelly or anything.
You make it a package deal for something, you might be able to wrap him up.
You don't draft players to trade him out, people. That is a hot tip.
That is true.
And Hugh McCluggage, I've got him at 28, man. I think they find a way to get him more involved in the inside, and he's going to blow it up.
Yeah, I want to see how the Lions set up. I know we've seen had a couple of reporters at their training camp, and they said it was Zorko, Lions, and Neil as the A grader, and McCluggage, Alice Yeoman, and someone else as the B team. But yeah, I want to see a little bit more. And again, this is before we've seen a ball kicked or anything, so the ranks will change and he could fly up my board. But what do you see McCluggage doing?
Oh, I think he can be about I think he can be about 105. I'm not predicting that, but I'd expect him to be about 100. And I know he kicked goals last year. I just think the possessions are going to go up and the contested possessions are going to go up. If you look at a player, sometimes there's players who just demand attention. Like, they demand things, like, because they're that's how good they are. And I kind of look at McCluggage just that way, and it's probably a hard ranking to make, because for someone like me, who's all about internal competition, well, they've brought in
another bloke who's going to bring that.
Yeah, right. So that they brought in someone who does what you would hope your player is going to do. So it doesn't really work. They haven't lost anyone from that sort of area of the ground. I'm just saying he's that good. They have to get him more involved.
Yeah, fair enough. Fair enough.
So yeah, so we're going to go through the players who you didn't rank that I have ranked in my top 40, and just quickly, Joel Selwood, the fraud himself at 26. Where you got Joel Selwood?
What is that? 43.
Not about Joel Selwood this year.
No, not at all. Never really have been, to be honest.
Yeah, I think it just makes too much sense. Like, they've lost Kelly. And you saw they put him in there at the end of the year when it was the nitty gritty. He was straight in there. I know he's had the injury scare in the preseason. I find it hard to believe that they don't require him in the middle.
I mean, him and Danger did form a pretty good partnership, so I can see it, but yeah, I don't want it.
Bit of a fraud. Anyway, at 29, I've got Travis Boak. We know he had the banger year last year, and a lot of people are predicting him to regress. I am one of them. But I don't think he falls off a cliff. You look at Port Adelaide's midfield, it's not exactly... It's a pretty interesting mix.
Yeah, they've got like, a good combination of old and young, don't they?
I don't know what they're going to do.
Yeah, I've got him 51, tell you the truth. He's going down off a cliff for me.
Yeah, that's completely fair enough. I don't have a beef with it. I just look at that whole team and I don't know what's going on.
Yeah, Port Adelaide to me a bit like you with St Kilda, except for like a Connor Rosie type or a Lysette. Don't really want to bar of it.
Yeah, the only one I'm really keen on is from the midfield is Wines. Oh, I'm pretty keen on Houston and Rosie, but Wines seems like a lock. Boak could be anything, and he could change it multiple times during the year.
Yeah, I see him and Ebert sort of swapping mid forward time a bit this year.
Yeah, it's a pretty interesting one. I still got Jared Lyons in there, 38. I'm not a Jared Lyons truther by any stretch, but he was good when the Lions were good, man.
Yeah, and he can go forward, kick goals too, so good value there as well.
I think it's more reasonable that Zorko goes forward.
Oh, I understand that, but I've seen Jared Lyons go forward and kick goals.
Yeah, for sure. So, if Zorko goes forward, I don't think he falls off a cliff from a scoring point of view, whereas I reckon
either maintains or goes slightly better.
Yeah, and I've got Sean Higgins at 40. I know he just had the concussion thing, but he's been pretty good, man.
See, I've got him there ranked in the, 44 with Rocky Selwood and Higgins. So
totally fair.
Yeah.
Totally fair. All right, Jono, we're going to get to some players who have just missed out. I know you've had some incredibly spicy takes so far, but give us some spicy ones who have just missed out, some players maybe who you're actually targeting in your draft. We know there's a lot of sort of wishy-washy players on the outside, but give us some names that you might be actively targeting to draft from this sort of range, the 41 plus.
Yeah, I've got Mitch Robinson at 49. People are like, oh, he's playing wing. You get him as an M6 or something this year, he's going to do it like Hugh McLeod, get you a solid 90 to 93. As an M6, I'm pretty comfortable with that in the back end of my draft. I've got, as I said, I had Tom Rockliffe, Joel Selwood, and Sean Higgins there at 42 to 44. Got Jagerbaum at 41. Again, look, he's better in your AFL fantasy scoring, but he's going to be solid again as well. Someone who I'm really targeting, probably not targeting, but I'm keeping an eye on, is James Harms. There is the talk of him in the defence, but again, he can play multiple roles. He plays as the tagger. He's played as a half forward. So I'm pretty keen on him because I just know he can get you 90, 95 each week. And as a back end M5 to M7, I'd be pretty happy with that.
He's just a quality player.
He is.
Yeah. What are your thoughts on Sam Walsh? I got him in at 49. I think Sam Walsh can pick it up, man.
Yeah, I actually haven't got him too high. I can't even see where I've got him, to be honest. I don't think I've got him on this list. I've been chopping and changing my list. I don't think I've put him in this list. So I don't know where I've got him. I'd have to have a look. But
must be shithouse.
He is shithouse. Plays for Carlton.
Whoa. that's not Essendon.
What are your thoughts on Brad Hill and Jack Billings?
I got Billings at 46. I'm very, very happy to let someone else draft Jack Billings. And Brad Hill I've got at 79.
Okay, fair enough.
Completely off, man. No interest whatsoever. Probably some guys who I am slightly keen on. Jack Viney.
Yes.
Hack Viney. A lot of people hate Jack Viney. I got him at 54, and I reckon it's really fair. You know, he played the 21 games last year, got past it. You know what sort of role he's going to play. He's going to be inside mid. He's been a good scorer in the past. All he has to do at M6 range is averaging 90+, and you're pretty happy. Anything more than that's a bonus.
On the mock side, I've been picking him up with my 21st pick. That's ridiculous.
Yeah, and that's right, Jonah. You can get him at the arse end of your draft. You know what he's going to do. At least he's fit at this point. So once players are generally past feet issues, they're generally past feet issues. I know they linger for a few years, but that can happen. I got Jared Berry at 50. I don't know if that's hot or not.
59,
I think he's
somewhat too far away.
I think he's a good player, man. I'm really keen on him. This time last year, he's battling glandular fever. We know he sort of moved from the inside to the outside with the recruits that Brisbane have brought in, but he can play inside out. Surely they're not going to be prioritising guys like Mitch Robbo over guns like Jared Berry. Mitch Robinson's got a video game career to worry about, man. Just step aside, old boy. You know,
let Jared Berry... 29, 30. It's too weak.
Get out of here. Get out of here, man. You're too old. You're done. I got Koch at 61. I think he can bounce back. And probably Jack Bowes at 63. I think Jack Bowes is going to play an inside midfield role at the Gold Coast Suns. Pretty, I wouldn't say I was hot on him because I don't think his upside's particularly great. But I'm really happy to have Jack Bowes as an M7 bench sort of guy.
Yeah, look, I'm nowhere near hot on Koch, and if I'm getting him, it's just bench coverage, that's it. I know he can put out a banger every now and again, but I think they're going to maybe run some other guys through that midfield, give him a little bit less time.
I find it a tough sell, Jono.
Yeah, as a Trent Cotchin owner, I know these things last year. It wasn't great. Yeah, it was barely rosterable. Barely.
He was always injured.
He wasn't always injured. It was the finals he got injured.
Well, yeah, he missed all the finals, but before.
Yes.
Like in round 16, 126, 17.
Because he played Gold Coast.
GWS, 111. Port Adelaide, 83. Then he got injured, missed the finals. I think he's just got so many injury games in his scores. I reckon he's super value this year, man. Yeah, even the year before, when he was shit, he averaged 89.
He's going the wrong way. Going the wrong way for me.
He's a bench. You pick him on your bench.
Yeah, and that's all he'll be, bench. He's not getting on the field.
He's like Jack Viney. His upside's an M5, M4.
I think Viney's got more upside than Cotchin.
No.
Yeah.
Oh, well, I mean, I guess you've taken that stance by saying Dion Prest is like an M2.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay, so I guess you'll have him and I'll have Koch and
we'll see who scores who.
And someone else has Dusty and just gives us both the finger.
That's true. That is true.
Anyway, we've got a lot of questions, Jono, but first I want to say we know we've got a lot of new listeners and returning listeners because it's that time of year where our downloads go through the roof and we think we're bigger than Jesus. But please do head to your listening platform and leave us a review and subscribe. We do go year-round. That's right. We release a new podcast every single week, every year. Don't miss shows, John. It's just amazing stuff. So if you're an absolute fruitcake for your fantasy football like us, you will get a new podcast in your whatever the fuck you call it, a phone
app.
Or something. It's an app, is it?
It's an app.
Yeah, okay. You get it in one of those every week, all year round. Amazing stuff. Go to the website. There's articles dropping. We just put out a couple new articles about the players you can get at the back end of your draft. Amazing stuff written by me. And make sure you check out the mock draft simulator, which you can use for free. Absolutely free. You can use it for. Of course, yep. You can upgrade and support the pod as well. But why don't we get to the people who we do this sort of horseshit for, Jono, the people who do support us and get to some questions, the hard-hitting fantasy questions. Russ asks, surf and turf or reef and beef?
Isn't it the same thing?
Well, it's the same thing, but which nomenclature do you prefer?
Surf and turf.
I'm a surf and turf as well, I've got to be honest. Yeah. Because the barrier reef's dead. It's dead. Yeah. It's done. Don't worry about it.
And if you say reef and beef, you know, people might think of the old mad cow disease and get spooked, so we don't want that happening.
And it rhymes with queef. Now, Rob, he's keen to see where we have warps. Where do we have Jimmy Warple?
Well, you're pretty high on him. At 18.
I think I had him three spots lower, so we're pretty...
21, 22, something like that, yeah.
Yeah, so that's end of the third in a 10-team league, start of the fourth, around about there.
Yeah, pretty comfortable with that.
Pretty happy with Warps. And also, Rob asked, last year we saw the curtain fall on SC mainstays, Gerald, JPK, and Pendles, even though the last two averaged okay. You got damn right they did, Jesus. Who's next in line to drop off a cliff? They didn't drop off a cliff. Come on, Rob. No.
JPK averaged 107. That's not a cliff.
Pendles
was
104?
Yeah.
They're like three of the best fantasy scorers we've seen over like a 12-year period.
I think Joel Selwood was one who fell off the cliff.
Well, he fell off a cliff, but it was roll. It was all roll. That's true. If he goes back inside, he'll probably score 100.
Who is falling off a cliff? It's hard to predict this year. It really is.
The one guy I did see would possibly be Zorko because he could get the role changed to the more forward time. But
yeah.
But he hasn't been like these other guys have been like they've had multiple seasons of 120 plus. They're basically 105 plus every single year. I think we take these guys for granted, Jono.
We do. And that's why people are, they're old, you know, they're slowing down. Like, no. Nah. I think JPK might have one more year because he's bashed and crashed his way through his career. But Pendles is mercurial. Like, he's just that good. And, like, he will score.
That's why I've had a hard time buying into Pendles playing forward, is because his game isn't built on explosive pace, which is kind of what you need in the forward line.
Yeah, that's right. Like, it's just, yeah, he's time and space and he uses the ball well, which is super coach to a T.
Yeah. Who's going to fall off a cliff? I'd say, yeah.
Andrew Gaff. Maybe, there it is.
Well, Gaff's a good one. But again, it's role. It's not like because they're shit or something. It's just role. Mark asks, is Clayton Oliver the GOAT?
Didn't you answer this with a picture on the Twitters?
He's not even Melbourne's GOAT. Melbourne's GOAT is Cam Pedersen forever and always.
True that.
Yeah. Tom D, and I think this is more of a Dream Team question. Where do you draft Gus Brayshaw and what expectations? John, obviously you're a lot hotter than I am.
Oh, look, I think he's around 100 mark this year. The Supercoach, AFL Fantasy would probably be more, obviously, but Supercoach, I've got him around the 100 average.
Yeah, I reckon he's like 95 tops. Dynawhite asks, is there any way Rayner improves the mid-time? There's a bit more of that question, but is there any... Well, no. There could be. There could be some way he gets one centre bounce by like walking in there and didn't realise the bounce was on.
Then it's a free kick against him and goes the opposition.
Someone else has to run out, like Lockie Neal's running out because Cam Rayner's all confused and disoriented.
Yeah.
How did I end up here?
He's not getting midfield time, unfortunately.
Look at Petrarca. Like, how slow builds he? Like, Rayner seems like he's even slower.
Yeah, definitely.
So, anyway. And he also asked, what does the Swans starting midfield look like?
Starting midfield? JPK, Parker, maybe Hewitt?
Seems like it worked pretty... Well, I mean, that's what they rolled last year, so I find it hard for them to go away from it. It's probably more the fourth, fifth, and sixth rotations that would be different.
Yeah, that's the interesting one to watch out for. And that's where we've got the Marsh series coming through to keep an eye on that.
Yeah, when they run 20 different players through there.
Yeah. And some guy we'll never see again on the list.
Robbie Fox, in you go, son. James asked, does Cogs play a Dusty type role if all the GWS mids are fully fit?
He's sort of done it before, but I think Cal Ward is the one who's playing that forward mid role this year.
Callan Ward playing forward off an ACL. Yeah, it seems insane. Cameron asked, testing the waters whether to say I'm the only one in my league who listens to the pod. Give Molar Mania a shout out and I'll let you know. Yeah, Molar Mania killed Epstein.
What's up?
Owen, where would you be comfortable drafting Titch in both of these scenarios? Plays both Marsh games and no type of match, but he's fit for round one. I think we sort of touched on it, but why don't we answer it, Jono?
So what was that? Both Marsh games. Let's say
Tom Mitchell plays both the Marsh games. Where are you comfortable drafting him?
Again, second round. I'm very comfortable taking him in the second round, but it's going to be hard to pass him if he comes across me in the first.
I reckon if he played both Marsh games, I'd seriously take him back of the first.
Look, he might not even get to if he plays both Marshes and brains it.
Yeah,
he'd be top three. He could go to top three if that happens.
And what if he plays no type of match, but he's fit for round one?
Again, the second round. I'm pretty comfortable with that.
I'd say third round. I couldn't give a fuck. If you haven't played a match, give me a break. Well, it's where I'm comfortable. I would not be feeling comfortable in round two. Matt asked, does being in a larger league, 14 teams, impact your decisions early in the draft? He plays in a 3-4-1-3 with captains off.
Yes. Yes, it does.
Massively.
Because, if you are at the back end, then you're not getting access to that higher end talent in terms of averages, especially with captains off. Like, you're going to be missing out on your Grundys, your McRae's, and those like, say, what, 14th, you might be getting Trelaw, maybe you'd be getting there in your first midfielder, maybe. But I'd still be pretty happy with that.
Well, think about it like this. Like, say you're playing a 10-team 5-7-1-5. You just multiply the teams by the amount of on-field positions every single week. So you're starting 70 mids and 50 forwards and 50 defenders, 10 rucks. In this league, you're only starting, what?
44.
What's 4 times 14? 56. But you're still starting... No, that's not right. Yes, is it 56? I think it's 56. But 42 forwards 4 by and defenders. 14, so I'd say the defenders and forwards who separate themselves, you got to snag them early, man. Get that Whitfield. Get that Lloyd. And the rucks, holy shit, man. You don't want to be the guy left holding the bag, having a roll out Nank or something like
in
that.
In a 14 team. Ooh.
Imagine that. So, yeah. I'd say the midfielders take a little bump down the tiers.
But yes, grab your bookends and your rucks early.
I mean, get those real difference makers from the for the forward lines and all that sort of thing.
Yeah, agreed.
It's a pretty easy way to look at it. Just multiply the teams by the amount of starting positions. Wilson asked, "What does Frio's midfield look like now? It's a less defensive game plan to be implemented, and Mundy hurt. He thinks Bailey Banfield is a beneficiary, and possibly Tom North."
Haven't heard a lot of coming out of the West this year, so it's going to be I'm keen to see what Freo are actually going to put up. We have heard they're going to be a more attacking game plan, but I'm really interested to see how they're set up. Like, we've bandied around that it's going to be Chera, it's going to be Brayshaw. You know, Fife is a given in their midfield, but we've really seen or heard nothing as to what's going to be going on. So it's when they roll out in the March series for me, it's when I can make a comment.
Well, let's talk through their midfield. What do we think seems most likely? Because, you know, let's Fife's in there. That's fine.
Walter's a chance.
Walter's played a lot in there last year. Conker played a lot in there last year. We're predicting Brayshaw will play a lot in there. Tucker played a lot in there. Yeah, does Chera play in there? We don't know.
Blakely,
it's a new
get that chance. It is
a new, yeah.
New coach.
It's a new coach. I mean, I was sort of on the Bailey Banfield train, but we haven't heard Jack about that.
Mm.
You know, all the focus has been on the wings because that's where they've lost the players.
That's right. And now even sort of the forward line with Hogan out, but we know Lobb and Tavern are going to be taking that spots up.
Yeah. Is the Cam McCarthy wing season dead?
Yeah, that was good for about all of 25 minutes, wasn't it? I'm still using my last draft pick on, just in case.
Just in case. Oh, man. Yeah, I think that's why everyone sort of looked at the wings, is because that's the more stable position. But the reality is, it's a new coach. We don't know who he likes.
That's right.
And I'll bet they are not, they don't move the ball fast. Like, once they've lost, like, the first three games by 10 goals.
See, I think they're going to be like a Carlton. They're just going to slowly build their game plan up and take a year to develop, a year to implement, and then it slowly gets better and more fluid. Like, Carlton was shit.
Was shit last year.
Yeah, but towards the back end of the year, they started to move the ball a bit better, and the game plan started to show through. So I think that's going to be Freo. It's going to take some time, because you can't just learn a game plan straight away and implement it. It's going to take time.
I bet they play safe with the ball.
Yeah, I agree.
Nothing, man. That's all the questions we got. That's so make sure you're heading over to the mock site and practicing all these things. You know, we've spoken about a lot of midfielders today, so you can go over there and see where you like to draft them. It's all good. See what we've written them up in the mock site. See what in the draft kit as well. All those good products out there. Yeah, that is time to wrap up. We'll see you next week.
Thanks for listening to the Draft Doctors Podcast. For more tips and in-depth analysis, head over to thedraftdoctors.com.au.